Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 262. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on tonight, gentlemen?
Shenanigans already.
Man, talk about shenanigans.
We are having the shenanigans.
Story time.
Understatement. story time with Nate.
Nate, lead us off. Did you want me to read a chapter of my book? Nate's like, no.
Interesting stories, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
We got them.
For sure.
Oh, goodness. You guys having a good week, okay week, bad week? What kind of week?
It's been busy. I'm not going to complain because it doesn't help, but it's just been busy. I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to complain a little bit.
I've been working
here we go.
2 hours away out in the middle of nowhere on a bridge.
It's fun.
And the first day, I went out there Monday. Can only assume start time's going to be 7 because that's when we normally start, generally. And so I get up at 4, get on the road at 4:30, so I can try to be there about 6:30, 6:45-ish, however long it is going to take. I get about 2 miles from the bridge, and the time changed.
Oh,
weird.
So... it's where the bridge is, it's in central time.
Well, I was going to say, so it went the...
So instead of 6:45, I was there at 5:45.
I was going to say, you had an extra hour. You're like, I'm going to go to bed.
I wasn't sure,
it is up in the region then, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we...
gave away your location.
We went ahead and stuck to our local time.
Nice.
Then we found out we're at the wrong bridge.
Oh, gosh.
Oops. Was it a haunted bridge?
No.
Darn it.
But it was no big deal because they weren't going to shut the road down until like noon. And then they weren't going to build the scaffolding so that we can reach where we needed to work until the next day. I was like, why are we here? It only worked 4 hours.
Sounds like everything went just smooth.
Oh, yeah. It was smooth, like walking in a room of thumbtacks.
Oh.
Ouch.
Oh, that's a... wow. Visual.
So then we went back Tuesday. They said, oh, we'll get the scaffolding up there first thing. It's okay. So we show back up and get up there. Now, mind you, the anchor bolts for the bearing pads, they want us to reuse them instead of replacing everything. Everything's 60 plus years old, rotted out.
They want you to use it?
Okay.
It's weird.
So out of the 8 beams on the first side, we snap 4 of them. The all thread. There's no fixing it. So we jump over to the other side, snap 4 more. It's like, what do you want us to do? Because now we can't reuse this. They're broke. And then when we go to put it all back together, who's gonna say that it we don't snap some, tighten them up?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. So they start making phone calls to all the engineers and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, let's just hold off. Can you guys put all the nuts back on the ones that aren't broke? And we're going to revisit this and figure out what we're going to do. So, okay, whatever. So we start putting the nuts back on the ones that are still there. Snap 4 more.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And it was like, yeah, this isn't going very well.
Man, they were trying to be cost-cutting, and it ends up probably costing them more.
Yep.
Goodness sakes.
So we'll probably just leave it, and then 5 years down the road, just tear the entire thing out and put a whole new bridge in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Would be my guess, but who knows?
Job security.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had anything that exciting.
So no.
It wasn't really exciting, but...
Not exciting. Maybe that's not the right word. Just Yeah. I've had just a normal average week. Mm-hmm. Man, I was tired yesterday and I was tired today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been my week. It's been tired.
Yeah.
Tiring. So anyway, I don't know.
You'll have that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told Dan at work last night, I said, I'm going to go to bed. Like, I'm going to go get gas on the way, go home, eat dinner. I'm like, I'm going to do a quick load of laundry. My mom's washing machine is the quickest washing machine I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I can, and then I'm like, I'm going to be in bed by like 7.
Magic, huh?
And it was 10 o'clock. I got on my phone and I was, I couldn't fall asleep.
Got the dopamine going.
So it was maybe 11, probably when I felt, oh, gosh, total opposite of what I intended. So
stay off the phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's so easy to get in that trap.
Man, you know, it was bad.
I normally listen to either some music or a podcast or something just to kind of like have my ear and try to fall asleep. And most of the time, and I know better, but I'll start to fall asleep as, you know, then you're like, oh, no, I got to take it out. Otherwise, I'll wake up and I'm like, what's in my ear?
I can't listen to music or anything. Like, I couldn't do a podcast. I know Jerry Pauly used to say that. He would
listen
to a podcast. Yeah.
It just depends. There's some nights where it's not.
Because really, I want to listen to what they're saying, so I don't want to fall asleep while it's going. I don't know.
Yeah. Like last night, I got in bed and I wasn't calmed down when I put my CPAP on. So I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Because I was breathing too heavy.
Yep.
And so I took that off and I was like, all right, I'll just grab my phone and play a game until I get my heart rate down and my breathing slowed down. So it took about 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I can put it back on.
Are you still high score at Candy Crush?
Oh, yeah.
I know it. I knew it.
Yeah, I don't play any phone games either. Well, I do. But not those type of games. I play like Wordle and Blossom and Quirtle.
I got like a jigsaw puzzle
all
game.
All kinds of different games like that.
You played that football game for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play that. I still play it off and on.
That's funny. Well, good. I'm glad we're having an outstanding week.
We are.
Hope the creepies are having a good week. I was listening to our latest episode and when I called them creepers, I was like, did I just call them creepers? So
Jeepers creepers, baby.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad we're here in the studio recording. It was a nice day today. Nice evening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful.
Weather's nice. Supposed to be warm tomorrow, but rainy.
But rainy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get cold.
Rainy Friday, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. We're heading to Elijah. Not your Elijah. I knew you'd love
Elijah what?
Elijah, Georgia. So Northern Georgia. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Elijah.
The spring break.
Never heard of Elijah, Georgia.
I hadn't either.
We didn't either, but I found a cabin there.
He found it, yeah. He's like, what do you think about Elijah? Like, it's a good name.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I like it.
God's God's country. Is what
fun. That's Lexington.
That's right. That's what I've been told.
All right. Well, good. I hope the creepies are having a good week whenever they listen to this episode. And let's get right to it. It's the dad joke of the show. So what do lawyers wear to court?
What do lawyers wear?
Depends.
I'm going to tell you. Lawsuits.
Oh.
Lawsuits.
I like it.
You like that?
I was trying to think about if depends would work. It depends on how well they're doing, right?
That's I guess so.
I'm not doing very well. I better put on the diaper.
They wear lawsuits. So that's there you go. That's action. The dad joke of the week. And you're welcome.
Good. I like it.
You like it a lot?
I do. I like it a lot.
All right. Well, Sean, do you have, moving on, first announcements?
I do. We come here every week for the guy time, the paranormal, and the fun. But the most important thing that we do is come here to build a mental health community. So call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. Go get you some help.
Sure. Absolutely.
I feel like I'm a chatty Cathy tonight, but
we'll go for it some more.
I have to redo my OSHA 30 class. And it's 30 hours.
Is that why it's called OSHA 30?
Education.
Hence the name.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Pretty good guess, Sean.
I like that.
Last time I took it, it was, I don't know, 8+ years ago. So it's changed quite a bit since then. The first, let's just break it down, like say 100%. So the first tenth, first 10% of it is more or less educating you on mental health and mm-hmm. suicide yeah. prevention, and it goes through the 988.
Oh, right.
How to approach people and get really? A conversation started. Job harassment and stuff like that. So a lot of mental wow, health I wouldn't stuff.
Have thought that.
Yeah. Hmm. It's pretty wild.
That's good.
It's good. Yeah. Yeah. I all like right, it.
I still want to.
It's like, I don't remember all this last it. Time I did it.
Wow.
So yeah, they're leaning heavy on people's mental health and their rights as a person.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
not,
good.
Not to be harassed and
I think that's awesome.
Made fun of and all that kind of stuff.
Well, good.
And try to prevent suicide because construction is the leading industry for suicides.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that, and I think I've heard a few years ago. Is it lawyers or it's some profession like that that is big on suicide? I could be way off on that, but it's something like that. It's a profession that's highly stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, good. That's pretty cool. So
I thought I'd share that.
Yeah, glad you did.
That's
very society's good. Starting to latch onto it and push it.
Right. That's what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen a lot on social media, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, speaking about it and sharing stories or reaching out or whatever. Mm-hmm. So a lot mm-hmm. of And like I said, I mentioned on the last few episodes, I follow a lot of suicide prevention Facebook groups and I see a lot of, I've been seeing a lot on Instagram too on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Yep.
Get the information out there.
Yep. So, a lot of ways you can get help. So,
mm-hmm. All right.
I had a good appointment with my psychiatrist today.
Yeah.
Good.
And used to go monthly. Now I do it every 2 months. So mm-hmm. eight weeks basically. So it was good. Mm-hmm. Good seeing her. She does a good job. She cares.
One thing that they did mention in my OSHA 30 was talk to friends, start conversations with your friends and more or less in a roundabout way. Don't be on an island. Don't single yourself out. Get help from friends first and foremost. Talk.
Yeah.
That's right.
So.
I like Chatty Cathy. Nate, mm-hmm. Do you like Chatty Cathy?
I don't like calling him Chatty Cathy. Let's call him Chatty Carl.
Chatty Carl. Okay, that's good.
Chatty,
that's
good. Chatty.
He's like, do I look like a Cathy to you?
Chatty Patty.
I like
that. I was going to say a joke about that, but
I'm Pat.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah. Well, good. Yes, we do like our mental health community, so
mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Get you some help. Thank you, Sean. Special announcement, June, 20th?
Yeah, Saturday.
Is the, now I'm going to say it right, hopefully, Indiana Paranormal Expo.
You got it.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Man, I posted it today on IPE. Facebook, so it was kind of in my head. So, yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't know if we need the acronym, but yeah. 9 to 5. Yeah, 9 to 5.
Is it 9 to 5?
I think so.
I think 11 to 5. Usually
this,
do
it says not, 9 a.m. is when the start time is, but I think it's till 5.
Oh, extra.
During daylight.
I'm staying all day, all night. They can't get rid of me.
I'm excited.
You're going to sleep in the werewolf's arms.
I might. Woofy.
Here you go.
I might just do that.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll come out to Greenwood Happy Haunts on June 20th, and there'll be vendors and guest speakers mm-hmm. and all kinds of creepy, haunted, spooky.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's right.
Investigators will be there. Podcasters.
House, yeah. Yes.
For the Thomas. Yeah. I could not remember that today. I was like, I was trying to tell Dan at work and he goes, is it haunted? I go, well, yeah. I said, we did an episode on it. I said, which I didn't remember.
Right? Should listen to the episode. I did go back and listen to it. It's a good episode.
Oh.
We put out some good work every once in a while.
Try to find it. But
I can't remember.
Scroll.
I want to say it's 138.
But you don't have a search bar?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Not on iTunes.
That's how he finds it.
Oh, really?
Audio, but no.
Don't you find it on Spotify or whatever?
I mean, you can search for podcasts, but not for episodes.
You can't go to like our page and then search I don't think so.
I haven't tried, so I don't
know about that one either. But I think it's 138, the regular episodes. I think. I may be wrong about that.
Hmm.
It sticks in my head, that number. It's been a couple months ago since I listened to it, but I can't call myself the number guy, but is that not right?
No, you can't. I just pulled up our
you're like,
no, podcast, and
it's like, nope, that's not it.
There is no option to search for a particular episode. So
poop.
Oh, well, that's all right. Okay, Sean.
Yes.
We are at that time to talk about this topic we're going to be speaking about.
This is your topic.
It is my topic.
And it is haunted Maine. I love doing the states. You know that? You know who else also likes our states, which I'm sure there's several people out
there. Who is it?
Pete Peterson. He loves it when we do this.
Just had to shout out Pete Peterson.
Pete Peterson. What are you doing? Mr. Peterson. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Nice. Yeah. I actually left a message on the way here for our good friend Kevin from Where the Weird Ones Are. And I told him, I said, hey, we're doing Haunted Maine tonight. Said, made me think of you. So I just reached out just to see how he was doing. So
he looks like he's doing well. I mean, I haven't talked to him personally. Yeah. But to see the podcast and the pictures, I liked his new glasses. I don't know if you saw those or not.
I don't think I've noticed.
I don't know if they were. I think they were Meta glasses. If you guys have you tried the Meta glasses? Mm. I don't have them.
No, I don't.
Friend of mine had them, and he was. I said, man, those are cool glasses. And he goes, they're Meta glasses. I go, I don't know what that means.
Meta glasses.
And my wife and Jenna goes, she's like, they're the kind that talk to you, like they're computer get glasses.
Oh wow.
Like they, you know. And he goes, yeah, you want to try them? He's like, ask it a question. And it's like, you can hear it in your ears. And I was like, this is weird. But yeah, you can like, they're almost like spy glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Really?
And they're cool. I think they're $350 to $400, some ridiculous thing like that. But they were cool. So
interesting.
I almost stole them.
I can tell that you like this topic because my show flow has a T and not a thumbs down.
That's right.
T for terrific.
Why it does that again, Nate, I don't know why it gives a thumbs down when I try to put an N.
I just like to bring it up.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
It's Todd time.
I really don't do that on purpose.
I know. You've shown me.
I'm like, I'm putting an N. N.
I like to hold a grudge, though.
I know you do.
He's a grudge holder. He's chatty, and he's a grudge holder tonight.
All right. Well, since it's my topic pick, I'm going to start.
Go for it.
How about that? I have, to start this off, Colonel Buck's Cursed Monument in Buck Cemetery, which is in Bucksport, Maine. So Colonel Jonathan Buck was born on February 20th, 1719, so it was a ways back, in Woburn, Massachusetts, and died March 18th, 1795, in Bucksport, Maine. Colonel Buck was a very accomplished man. He was a loving husband and a father of nine. Wow. The founder of Bucksport, known as Buckstown during his lifetime, and an admired town leader, justice of the peace. He was the first in the area to develop a sawmill, a grist mill, never heard of that, and a general store, and he was a Revolutionary War hero. One could reasonably think that any of these outstanding accomplishments would earn Colonel Buck great notoriety. Instead, it is his granite memorial. This Buck Monument, built of Blue Hill granite, was erected in memory of Colonel Jonathan Buck by his descendants in 1852, which was nearly 60 years after his death. Sometime after its placement, an eerie leg and foot-shaped stain appeared on the face of the stone, and this is where the story begins. The legend varies, as most legends do, but the general story is that the boot-shaped mark did not come about by natural means. The tale is that Colonel Jonathan Buck sentenced a woman who may or may not have been his mistress and who may or may not have been pregnant with his child to death for practicing witchcraft. Right before she was hanged or burned, she cursed Buck and his family and claimed she would dance on his grave. Whatever the true story is, it is undeniable fact that there is a pointy leg or foot-shaped stain on Colonel Buck's monument. If you want to check it out for yourself, go to Colonel Buck's monument. Located at Main Street on US 1 North in Bucksport, Maine. So there you go.
The buck stops here.
The buck stops here. That's good.
You're bucking kidding me. There's a lot of buck there.
So that's kind of creepy. Kind of creepy. So go check out the cemetery. Go see Colonel Buck and the stain. Foot stain.
And the stain.
All right. Whoever wants to go next, go for it.
I want to say this first, is that when I think about haunted states, which I know every state has hauntings. I don't think about Maine as being a haunted state, but when
you Maine's got a lot.
Maine's got a lot. I mean, it is kind of tucked up there all by itself, right?
Yeah.
A lot of wilderness.
Is a lot of, and a lot of history.
Yes,
too.
It does have a lot of wilderness. Mm-hmm. It is, that's what Kevin said.
Yeah. Is the Fort William Henry location. It was built in 1692 as the English fortified the frontiers of the Massachusetts colony. The fort's construction was extraordinary, housing nearly 20 cannons and 60 soldiers. That didn't sound like very much. Hmm. However, the fort's splendor was short-lived before the area's colonization. The land was home to many Native Americans. Tension continued between Native American people and the colonists. Tragically, in 1696, Native American chief Takalexis was, that sounds good. I think this is correct.
Let's go
is
for
that
it.
A car?
Takalexis. Yeah, it's
a nice, the new Takalexis.
It's a nice riding car, baby.
GT.
0-60 in 2 seconds. Was hung by the fort. Local legend has it that he haunts the historic site to this day. Chief Takalexis in his car.
Hmm. Wow.
Zooming by. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
How about the Riverside Cemetery in Lewiston?
Oh,
what about it?
I'll tell you. Just like any other cemetery, this one is quiet. Is a quiet place where people have encountered mysterious incidences beyond any explanation. Once, on their way to the Libby Mausoleum, three friends faced a forceful wind restricting their way to go to the cemetery. That must be one heck of a wind.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They were reluctant to leave the spot, but had to, as a birch tree suddenly fell exactly where they are standing. Even after leaving the cemetery, they kept on feeling an unusual presence around them for several days.
Oh. Well.
So watch out going there. You might bring something home with you.
That would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
That would be bad. All right. So we've had two cemetery stories. I'm going to go with, this is another kind of long one. This is the East Wind Inn in Tenants Harbor, Tenants Harbor in Georgetown, Maine. During much of the 19th century, Tenants Harbor was both a shipping and a shipbuilding center. In 1860, a local businessman named John Fuller felt that the town needed a large multi-use commercial building, so he built the building that would one day be the East Wind Inn. Each floor of the three-story building served a different purpose. The basement was used by Fuller's son as a tin shop. The main ground floor, Fuller used to run a general store, and the second floor was used by a sale sewing business, later a community meeting room, and the top floor was rented to the town's Masonic Lodge until 1894. But in 1921, this commercial building was bought by a man by the name of Charles Raleigh, who converted the building into the Juan E. Set for tourists, mostly from Boston, arriving by steamer in the summer months. In 1941, the inn was sold to Frank Scruton, who abandoned the building in 1954. So the property stood vacant from 54 through 1974 when local Tim Watts bought it, renovated it, and dubbed it the East Wind Inn. Now guests arriving at the East Wind Inn, Tenants Harbor, are advised to stay clear of rooms 12 and 14. Visitors in those rooms have frequently reported an odd feeling of being held down in their beds by unseen hands. Mm. On the main floor, a gray figure has been seen climbing the main stairway and looking out an ocean-facing window. And throughout this building, there are reports of strange noises, such as eerie wailing and crying, and physical abnormalities like windows and doors opening and closing on their own. So there you go. I say we go.
Yeah.
I've already
booked two rooms there.
Okay.
12 and 14.
12 and 14.
Of course you did.
Let's do it. I'm all about that. So, yeah. So
you're going to make me stay in one, aren't you? Mm-hmm. All by my lonesome.
Georgetown, Maine. Let's go.
Oh, you won't be alone.
All right.
I'm in. Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's fair.
What you got there, Mr. Sean?
Spooky Wood Spooky Island. Wood. Like yeah, right. Spooky Wood Island and Lighthouse.
Mm.
Woodland Lighthouse has its fair share of reported supernatural activities. In fact, the hit television show Ghost Hunters featured the lighthouse on a paranormal investigation. It all began in 1896 when Howard Hobbs, not Calvin Hobbs, A tenant of Wood Island was confronted by his landlord, Frederick Milliken. Milliken told Hobbs that the rent was overdue, and that is when the tragedy unfolded. To this day, I assume somebody killed somebody, I don't know. To this day, it is said that if you stand quietly, you can still hear the footsteps of Milliken and Hobbs. Hmm. I'm not sure what the, I do wish they would have would say what the tragedy is. I'm sure somebody.
I would like more to the story.
I would too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have me hanging.
Wow.
A little bit.
Okay.
This one's a
cliffhanger.
Short, but very, very creepy.
Okay. Ooh, I like it. Short and creepy.
This is, is Auburn. Milliken and Hobbs? Auburn Public Library. Ooh. Even this prestigious library has some horror stories in store for you. Not in books, but for real. Some staff revealed that a smiling man inside the building had followed them. They tried to trace him, but all in vain. Sounds spooky, doesn't it?
That's creepy.
A little bit.
A smiling man?
The smiling man.
That's yeah.
You try to track him down and... can't find him?
No. That's weird.
Mm.
Creepy deep.
Smiley man. Hmm. Okay. Was that it?
That's it.
Okay. Told you short. That was short and creepy. Well, I've got Fort Knox in Prospect, Maine. Located on the west bank of Penobscot River in Prospect, Maine, in an area known as the Penobscot Narrows. Fort Knox is one of the best preserved military fortifications on the New England seacoast. The fort has many unique architectural features as well as a rich history behind its walls. I'll skip the... there's some information that really doesn't matter. But it says... despite the lack of reported deaths and military action, the fort is said to be haunted. Visitors to the fort have reported a sundry, how about that word, sundry of paranormal experiences, such as feeling cold spots, being touched by unseen hands, seeing ghostly apparitions and strange lights, and hearing voices, laughter, and footsteps. The fort has been featured on several paranormal TV shows, including Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters and East Coast Ghost Trackers. Investigators reported recording strange lights, unexplained thermal readings, and even a few EVPs.
Nice.
So, Fort Knox in Prospect, Maine.
Does Fort Knox know that Fort Knox ripped off his name?
Yeah, I know.
How many Fort Knoxes are
there? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Two, apparently.
Yeah, right. All right.
I've got Museums of Old York. Old York is one of, Old York is one of the earliest and most beautifully preserved English settlements in the country. There are few better places to explore Maine's history and heritage. However, visitors of this historic attraction have reported paranormal activity, with legends of prisoners, sea captains, witches, and families. Ooh. The stories here are limited only by your imagination. One of the most popular stories took place during the days of witch hunting. People have reported doors opening on their own, cold spots, and even seeing the figure of a woman who walks down the street alone. She is known as the White Witch. Apparently, or allegedly, children from the nearby preschool have reported that the witch is friendly and sometimes visits during recess to come and play.
Oh, the White Witch. That's not the way I thought I was going to go.
No, as long as she's not luring children, right?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Candy.
Yeah, right.
Tell little kids.
Some candy.
That's creepy.
I got a white, the White Witch has a white van.
Get in my oven. I mean,
in no windows. That's the worst, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in my oven. I mean, my fort.
Oven. All right.
All right. I have a Haynesville Road, Route 2A.
Haynesville.
It's Haynes. Sure you're saying that right?
looks like Haynesville. One of the most infamous roads of northern Maine, this particular route, witnessed numerous accidents. Mm. People often see a crying woman asking for help to rescue her trapped husband from a car. When they go to help her, she disappears.
Oh.
Similarly.
That's a hard word. I can't say that word either.
A little girl who died in a car accident is often seen on the side of the road. Singer Dick Curless even wrote a song called A Tombstone Every Mile, describing the horrible history of this road.
Wow.
I cannot say I've heard that song.
I have not either.
Hmm.
Never heard of old Dick Curless. Crazy Dick Curless. Going to D.C. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. The old disappearing.
Yeah, the disappearing act.
Seen that many a time. All right, I've got Goose River Bridge. Mm-hmm. How about that? In Rockport, Maine. I've heard of Rockport, Maine. The Goose River Bridge, located in Rockport, Maine, is said to be haunted by the spirit known by many as the Pitcher Man. As legend has it, during the American Revolution, a man named William Richardson played his part in the war effort by either actively fighting in battle or aiding American privateer Samuel Tucker, who stole a British ship, by guiding him safely away from the British forces. When the war ended in 1783, the town of Rockport, known as Goose River Village at the time, celebrated Mr. Richardson, being very proud of the part he played. He led the they led the celebrations by rolling out the barrels of ale, passing around the pitchers, and making sure mugs were always full. At some point in the evening, after more than drinking his fill, William Richardson wandered away from the party and met his death by either falling over the bridge in a drunken stupor or running into some Tories or British sympathizers who have taken it as an insult when he offered them a toast in celebration of the end of the war, struck him on the head with the butt of a rifle, and left him to die on the bridge. It is now believed that since his death, the Goose River Bridge has been haunted by William Richardson's ghost. Visitors claim to see a man with a pitcher in hand, hence the name Pitcher Man, wandering the bridge, offering ale to startled passersby before disappearing into thin air. So if you're driving, he may even thrust his ghostly pitcher of ale through your car window.
Jeez.
By all accounts, Richardson's ghost is said to be very friendly.
Drink, I said.
Man.
Well, there's no choice.
How do you like that? Try to pass it through,
have a drink
through
on
the
me.
Window.
Have a drink on me? No, have a drink on you.
Yeah. So he's a friendly guy. He just wants to share his ale.
He doesn't want to drink alone.
What was the restaurant that was around forever? Ale?
Ale Emporium?
Ale Emporium.
Mm-hmm. Ale Emporium.
Yep. That's right.
Man, have you ever gone there?
I have. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I had never been there.
Yeah.
I just remember all the, yeah. Ale Emporium. That's
There's
right.
Two mm-hmm. of them. Two locations.
They're gone though, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I haven't.
No,
I think the one in Castleton's still
I think
there.
Oh, really?
I think mm-hmm. one of them at least is still open.
I would have guessed they closed down 30 years ago.
It was a couple.
20 years ago.
No, it was a couple of years ago I went.
Ale Emporium, so okay. Yeah,
there was, mm-hmm. I think there's at least still one or two. But
interesting. Okay.
I do have the rest of the story with Hobbs and Milliken.
Oh, let's hear it.
I'll cover that, and then I had another thing too. But
okay.
The tragedy involving Howard Hobbs and Fred Milliken occurred in the summer of 1896 on Wood Island, Maine. Hobbs, a fisherman and tenant, shot his landlord and the sheriff of Bidford Pool, Fred Milliken, following a confrontation over overdue rent while both men were intoxicated. Oh. After killing Milliken, Hobbs reportedly fled to the Wood Island Lighthouse, where he committed suicide with the same repeating rifle. This event is the basis for a famous urban legend that the lighthouse is haunted by Hobbs' ghost, with reports of moaning and shadows, leading to the removal of the light in 1972 to eliminate the need for keepers living in the haunted structure.
Oh,
yeah, I wanted to stay there. I don't blame him.
Hmm.
All right. The other thing I wanted to, I got to find it again.
Well, I'm glad to know more about that story because it was kind of.
Well, it was kind of eating at me too.
Kind of weird how they didn't get into it.
So who's the most famous native from Maine? There might be more famous, but I don't think so. Stephen King.
Yeah.
So Stephen King is deeply connected to Maine, where he was born in Portland, lived for much of his life. State serves as primary setting for many of the most famous works. Bangor being the real life inspiration, of course, for the fictional town Derry. Featured in It, Insomnia, and 11/22/63, which I'm still trying to work through. So of course, Derry, Maine. There's also locations inspired by King's story, Durham, Maine, inspiration for Castle Rock, Orrington, Maine, where King lived, while writing Pet Cemetery, which I love that. I've seen people cover that area too. Mm-hmm. It is really, really cool. Bridgeton, Maine, the setting for The Mist, with the real Food City supermarket serving as the novel central location.
I like that movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't. I like it.
Oh, I do too.
The Mist?
The Mist, mm-hmm. yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Freiburg, mm-hmm. Maine is a likely inspiration for Jerusalem's Lot and Salem's Lot.
Ooh.
They're the cool thing. So tours and experiences. SK Tour of Maine offers narrated bus tours of Bangor's king sites, including stops at the author's former house, the Paul Bunyan statue, and the Thomas Hill sandpipe. And King's Bangor Home has been redeveloped into a nonprofit writer's retreat and archive open by appointment. I heard about that one too. Like, you rent this place out if you want to write your novel or whatever, and you can be inspired by, you know, the greatness of his work. You know, I was like, that's kind of cool. So
right on.
Huh.
It's a gimmick, but it's a great gimmick, right?
Mm-hmm. Cocaine also helped Stephen King.
I mean, this is true. I wasn't going to mention this.
And alcohol.
There is a footnote under here, right?
Not to disparage him, but he was heavily influenced by cocaine.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. I thought I'd just add that.
If he was listening to this, he's no longer listening to
this.
It's
true.
You guys probably know. He threw away his first book and said it was garbage. And he said, I can't do this. Is not going to go anywhere. And his wife dug it out of the trash and said no, and she turned it into the publisher. Otherwise he may not have continued.
What was the book?
I don't remember what his first was. Yeah, I'm all smart.
It might be something to look up. I'm curious. I mean, we've ever heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
All right,
what's the one? Sleepwalkers or something like that. Were they?
I want to say it's a stand, but that's. I don't think
they turn into like cats.
Yeah, there's. I know the movie. I didn't know that was a Stephen King.
Oh, it's Carrie.
Oh, Carrie.
I guess Carrie.
That's right. Okay, that is okay. I think I've heard.
Yeah, that. 1974.
I don't know.
So when he wrote that, Stephen King's first published book was the horror novel Carrie.
Hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that was not my guess.
It's a creepy movie. Very disturbing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. John Travolta was in that movie. As a very young man.
So. That's right.
Sissy Spacek. All right. What you got, Nate?
I have the McLellan Sweat Mansion in Portland.
Sweat Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a different thing than sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Sweet, sweat. Don't miss the
sweat,
A.
Sweet, whatever.
It changes the pronunciation. presently maintained by the Portland Art Museum, this house is an outstanding example of federal-style architecture.
Hmm.
Initially constructed by Mr. Hugh McLellan in 1801, there have been many residents as a result of the selling and purchasing of the building. Now, as the story goes, this house is haunted by one of its former residents. The frequent apparitions are felt. It is believed that the spirit is disturbed due to the renovation of this building. As this is just 6 miles away from Scarborough, where the fair is, and 5.3 miles away from Fullmouth. Don't talk with your mouth full.
I was gonna say.
So don't forget to pay a visit.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
They didn't really say what the apparitions do, but you can feel them.
That's spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Feel them.
That'd be weird. All right. If you say so. No. I've got Maiden's Cliff in Mount... Oh, here we go again. Maguntikook. Maguntikook. In Camden,
like
Maine.
Indian.
Mount Maguntikook.
I don't...
A huge white cross rises from the Maiden's Cliff lookout, one of the two rock ledge lookouts, on Mount Maguntikook in Camden Hill State Park. Below this cross, a plaque reads, Eleonora French, on May 7th, 1864, this 12-year-old farmer's daughter fell to her death from this cliff. According to legend, she was here as a member of a Maying party and fell trying to catch her windblown hat. This cross was erected in her memory. According to the Lincolnville Historical Society's records on that date, 12-year-old Eleanor French, daughter of Deborah and Zadok French of Lincolnville Beach, went Maying, I've never heard of that, after Mayflowers with her older sister, their teacher, and a young male friend. While no one can say for sure, it is believed that, and it says, as the small party were exploring, a gust of wind stole the little girl's hat In giving chase, she tumbled over the cliff's edge in her attempt to catch it. No one even realized she had gone until they heard her screams. Sadly, Eleonora did not survive the fall, and a cross was erected at the site to honor her short life. Visitors of this cliff report overwhelming feelings of sadness and grief, seeing the apparition of a hat and sometimes even the young girl chasing it and then plummeting off the cliff and hearing screams carrying on the wind. Man, so.
It also could be like Norwegian. I don't know. I'm trying to think what kind of nation.
It's a sad story.
It is a sad story.
A little 12-year-old little girl falling to her death.
Yeah. Talking about like, I don't know why this made me think of this, but I just heard this in the last couple of days. There was this video and these two guys were interviewing another guy. And the guy that was being interviewed had a real thick African accent. And they were talking about the Lion King. And you know, in the beginning of Lion King, the movie, you know,
I haven't seen it for years, but.
But the circle of life, you know, have you heard this before?
Yeah, I've heard this.
I probably laughed a little too hard, but it was funny. It was like, he was talking about, he's like, you know how it opens up with, and I'm not going to be able to remember how exactly is it, you know. But it's African, you know, it's like, you know, we have no idea what that says.
Right.
They go, what does that say? And he goes, it says, look, or hey, look, it's a lion. Oh my gosh, it's a lion. And they go, no, that's not what it says. He goes, it's exactly what it says. So it's like, hey, look, it's a lion. Oh my gosh, it's a lion. I was like, it takes all the like magic out of it. They laugh. They're like, you gotta be kidding me. Like the magic of Disney. That's hilarious.
Hmm.
You guys didn't do University of Southern Maine, did you?
No, we didn't.
Gorham. Female ghosts haunt the Robbie Andrews dorm. Situated on the university campus, students have heard footsteps, seen objects moving on their own, and felt a sudden drop in temperature. It is believed that once a girl committed suicide after being betrayed by her lover, and now she haunts the hallways of the dorm. Another story suggests that a homesick student met with an accident in the belfry tower of the dorm and died. Her ghost also roams around the old dorm.
Okay.
Right on.
Creepy.
It is creepy.
It is. I don't want to go to class.
That's why. Yeah.
I'm a dropout now.
I have a Maine State Prison.
Oh, good prison story. Mm-hmm. Or haunting, whatever.
It's a cool building. Or cool prison. Sort of, I mean, it's not on an island, but it reminds me of like, sort of like Alcatraz.
Oh.
A little bit. In 1824, in Thompsonton, Maine, the Maine State Prison was established. The purpose behind the facility was for prisoners to serve out their life sentences doing hard labor. In other cases, prisoners served hard labor for shorter periods. Men and women alike served time at the Maine State Prison. Eventually, women were moved from the facility. During its history, the facility was devastated by fires, multiple fires, and rebuilt. The prison also had sections for mental health and a segregation unit. In the many years the state prison has been in use, there have been reports of sightings from guards and prisoners alike. Guards have made claims of someone watching them when there was no one around. Others have stated they have seen the spirits of former prisoners at night when the prison is at its most quiet. Many believe some of the hauntings are a direct result of equipment from an old prison on Thompsonton being moved to and used at the Maine State Prison.
I like that. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Good prison one, yeah. as I gargle. Can't beat a good haunted prison. We didn't talk about the Emerson Wilcox house, have we?
I did not.
Okay, I don't think so. This is the Emerson Wilcox House in York, operated by the Old York Historical Society. This house was built in 1735 and served as a general store, tavern, tailor shop, post office, and a home. In 2003, former caretaker Dana Mouton III What was that?
a little glitch.
Yeah. Mouton told a local newspaper about a night he stopped to use the bathroom in the house during one of his rounds. While there, he heard a door at the end of the hall squeak open. When he looked up, he heard footsteps move towards him and beat it out there. Once outside, he reached through a door to reset the security alarm, and his hand instantly went cold. Even his normally quiet and happy dog started barking and scratching like crazy when visiting this house. Now, we talk about how, you know, kids and animals, like dogs, they sense when there's something eerie. So I believe that.
Hmm.
So there you go. Who's next? Sean.
That's me. Well, I got, so did we do,
we're going to start going, did we,
do, I know,
did we,
did we do the Wood Island Lighthouse? This was,
well,
oh, wait a minute. No, I did that one.
You did
that
dang one it. Already.
I did that one. Shoot.
Jeez.
I was getting to the bottom. I was,
creepy. Well, no, we apologize.
I called it the spooky one, didn't I? Uh-huh. Well, the reason is, okay, so I can do this one, but it's not really that creepy. And unfortunately, the old Notre Dame Hospital in Bedford. There,
no,
we didn't do that one. No. It's not that creepy. It looks creepy though. So
that doesn't help the creepies that they,
it doesn't. This hospital was functional to 2005 and has been abandoned since. Various paranormal investigators explored the place and gave people insights about what the interior looked like. Okay. Although not haunted in that sense, still the creepy exterior never fails to attract people. So if you have an imaginative mind, feel free to visit the site from the outside and have a quick tour in the past. The entrance is restricted by the Bedford Police Department. That's all. And that's why I was like, dang it, I don't like this one. I mean, yeah. In this list of most haunted places.
You know, there's a ton of haunted stories from Maine.
I'm going to say it.
I know.
Good job, Sean.
Well, it's terrible.
I'm gonna say it was terrible.
It was bad. That's like the worst one we've ever come up with. And that's why.
First of all, he's like, "Hey, did we do the lighthouse?" So
there's 36 on this
I
list.
Did that one.
And I was like, "We did that one. We just did that one. We did that one." And then I was like, "Shoot, we're done." And I'm like, "Dang it!"
So, I've got like endless.
Oh, I find
hauntings here.
I got more.
Okay. All right. You're going to have to redeem yourself next one.
I know. So.
Well, I think I have one better than his.
Well, it can't be worse. It's like, this is haunted.
All right, Nate,
not that haunted.
What do you got?
I have the Strand Cinema.
Oh.
In Skowhegan.
Man, we got some good names tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Skowhegan?
When the Strand Cinema opened in November of 1929, the seating capacity was 1,000. For the one theater. It is almost 100 year, or in its almost 100 year history, the Strand Cinema has undergone numerous renovations. Additional theaters, as well as an apartment, have been added to the building. Although the Strand Cinema has provided countless people with an opportunity to enjoy a live performance or a movie in later years, some patrons and employees have experienced paranormal activity.
Nice.
Some employees have experienced power tools that have been unplugged, working on their own, and shocking them.
Oh, shocking.
Other individuals report that a ghost or ghost likes to smear paint on the walls of the building. Further reports say that ghostly figures smear handprints all over the theater screens.
Oh, wow.
In other reports, one employee who went to the basement to fetch some ice felt overcome by a spirit and was struck frozen on the steps for a while before she was once allowed to move. Papers flying off desks and markers tossed around, as well as strange sounds in the balconies and basement, are other odd occurrences in the Strand Cinema.
That was a good one. Very messy.
Yes.
A very messy paranormal activity.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the paint?
The ghosts have no...
it's not nice.
Manners.
No.
Yeah.
And paint. I mean, come on. Come on, ghosts. No. I mean, messing things up, especially the, didn't it say the screen?
Mm-hmm.
The, yeah, that's.
Handprints.
It's kind of crappy. All right. I've got the haunting of Nellie Butler in Sullivan, Maine. If there were a first edition of American Ghost Stories, Eleanor Hooper Nellie Butlers would be included. Her tale is one of the country's oldest ghost stories. Butler's spirit first made itself heard in the Sullivan home of Captain Abner Blaisdell in 1799. Beds shook, doors slammed, and objects flew. And then, after several months of these disturbances, a voice called from the cellar claiming to be Nellie Butler, who had passed away along with her infant a few years before. Nellie's apparition went on to appear before dozens of witnesses, engaging in conversations and preaching the gospel. A judge even allegedly signed an affidavit saying he witnessed it all. Eventually, a preacher tried to send her on her way, but some say her spirit haunts Sullivan still. So, can't get rid of old Nellie.
Hmm,
or Nellie.
Nellie.
Nellie Belly.
Nellie Belly.
I've been working feverishly over here to try to so, top my other one.
All right, let's... Do you have a good one there?
I got Haunted Fudge Factory. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't laugh at our date. I know you're laughing over there. So did we haven't covered the smutty nose murder kittery.
No.
Yes. Good. This is
good.
Awesome.
Good. Creed. This is a good one. Are you listening to us?
Smutty nose murder and kittery.
What'd you call Nate? He called you smutty nose.
Smutty nose.
Oh, smutty nose Nate.
According to Wikipedia, this terrifying tale happened in Kittery, Maine. This island is notorious.
You're kiddering me.
I'm not kiddering you. Oh my gosh. This island is notorious. I'm redeeming myself, remember?
Okay.
This island is notorious for two murders and certain that it's haunted because what followed is a chilling description of the loss of two lives. Well, there's two murders, right? The island is best known for, let's see, on 6th of March, 1873, I suppose drinking when they were writing this, two Norwegian women were strangled and one struck with a hatchet. A Ooh. Third woman, Marine...
she ducked.
Hauntvet. Hauntvet, get that? See, there's playing words. Escaped and hid on the island. A Marine and only witness to the murders identified German-born fisherman Louis Wagner as the killer. Wagner was tried, convicted, and although he maintained his innocence... he was hanged.
Oh.
Despite an airtight case, so vehement was his denial that people long believed he was innocent. Oh. Hmm. Why'd she say he did it then?
Yeah.
He did it.
Luai, luai.
Luai, luai. Something like that.
All right. You redeemed yourself. You did all right.
Thank you. Thank you. Come again. Schmuddy. Right. With my schmuddy talk.
All right. Carriage House Inn in Searsport. Captain John McGilvery had a Victorian mansion built in 1874. That mansion became what is known today as the Carriage House Inn. In its history, the Carriage House was not only a retreat for people such as famous painter Waldo Pierce, it was also an army garrison. Today, people can come in, stay. Whoever wrote this is
I told you.
Horrible.
I know. I've had a couple of...
sure.
Yeah.
Today, people can come and, not in, and stay in three of the 13 rooms 13. In the inn. Mm. The rest of the rooms remain off limits.
Mm.
People who visit the Carriage House Inn have stated they have experienced different paranormal activity.
Nice.
Expert paranormal investigators state there are, in fact, a minimum of two ghosts haunting the inn. One couple visited, stating they experienced the sensation of someone sitting on the bed with them,
oh.
which woke them up. The wife of that same couple stated she saw a woman with long hair dressed in old-fashioned garb, combing her hair in their room. Don't mind me, just combing my hair.
Yes.
It's not creepy at all.
Other guests have heard knocking, music, and have even smelled cigar smoke when no one was smoking.
The old cigar smoke, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Puff, puff.
That be the Carriage House Inn.
I like it.
That be.
That be. That be it.
So it be.
All right, I like it. I've got the Old Narrow Gauge Volunteer Trail. How about that? In Randolph,
Easy
Maine.
For you to say.
So let's see what Randolph, Maine has for us. Mm-hmm. According to the Bangor Daily News, Lawrence Larry Farrell disappeared in the fall of 2004 at the age of 55. Ooh, that's my age. Before his disappearance, Farrell lived with 64-year-old Norris Perry, who died by suicide in the winter of 2004 after leaving a voice message with his sister saying he had killed Farrell and that the body could be found in the brook behind their home. Maine state investigators used cadaver dogs and a backhoe to search for Farrell's body for a month, but no traces of the man or his bicycle were ever found. Today, it is believed that the trail is haunted by the ghost of Bicycle Larry, so called because he was so often seen riding his bike around town.
You don't say.
I did say. Visitors of the trail report seeing orbs and spirits, along with hearing the sound of bicycle wheels and screams of "Get out." So
I thought he'd say "we."
We makes you think of Leisure Suit Larry, but
so this is Bicycle Larry. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's the.
It's almost like a lawsuit, right?
Yeah. It's the old narrow gauge volunteer trail. Man, that was a lot to say.
I found my way into a slew of murders. So I got Acadia Cliff murder. Didn't even know there was one. This murder took place right in Acadia, Maine, and it is a chilling crime. The entire cliff was not. Oh, it says I'd be surprised if the entire cliff isn't haunted or holding residual energy. As the report goes, Mrs. Larson plunged 80 feet to her death at Otter's Cliff in Acadia National Park on October 11th, 1987. Authorities centered their investigation on Larson after learning he had collected insurance money when his first wife allegedly washed away in a Montana stream.
Oh, nice.
Nice guy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, she fell.
Whoops.
Yeah, right? It's not nice.
How about the Poco Moonshine Lake
okay.
in Washington County?
Okay.
This lake in Washington County has held stories of lake monsters for as long as any Mainer in the area can remember. Some have even reported seeing the snake-like beings along with the trails they leave behind them when they come to and leave the lake. While there are no photos of the creatures, locals estimate them to be anywhere from 30 to 60 feet long.
Goodness sakes.
And could date back as far as 1873. Somehow, this is easily one of the most creepiest places in Maine.
I'd say yeah. I'd say yes.
I wonder if, as we're stating all these places, I wonder if Kevin has heard Zine about or been to any of these places. Yeah,
probably.
It's got a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the great state of Maine. All right. I've got Lake George Regional Park West in Chagoan. That's what I'm going to say. It's Skowhegan. As I look at it better. In Skowhegan, you'll find Lake George Regional Park West, which was established in 1992. It's a day-used park with cabins, group spots, fields for playing, and places for picnics. Visitors also enjoy hiking, fishing, swimming, and boating. Even though it's been around for less than 30 years, this park has had its share of strange paranormal reports. Over time, visitors claim that they set things on tables for events, but the objects got rearranged mysteriously. In other local tales, some kids wandering in the woods found an old cabin. Two of them lifted a smaller child to peek inside a foggy window. The little one said that they saw chairs against the wall in what looked like a game room. When another child went in, the chairs were all around the table. They had moved, seemingly on their own.
Mm.
There you go. Lake George Regional Park West.
I'm going to do one more murder. This is a massacre, though. You ready for a massacre?
Oh, yeah.
Purrington Family Massacre.
No.
It has been told that Captain Purrington, they're always captains, right? Used an axe to kill his entire family. According to the story, he moved his family to the Ballard neighborhood of Augusta in August of 1805. He originally was planning on taking his own life, but when one of his family members found out and told the mother, the captain changed his plans, and instead he took his axe and massacred his family.
Oh, no.
Standing in the spot where this took place has to be horrific. Right?
So there was no hauntings, but it was just a massacre.
That's yeah.
Still terrible.
Yeah. Wow. Dark place.
I'm the problem. You know what? On second thought, it's all you.
I'm going to massacre you.
It's their fault.
Yeah, that's wow. Terrible.
That's terrible.
All right.
Yeah. Brownville Road in Millinocket.
There's they got some crazy names in Maine.
You can't
they got some
it.
Nice
nothing
names.
Is, nothing simple.
Can't Millinocket.
It. There's no like Smith Road or something.
Oh, I can knock it.
So
don't knock it in until you try it.
On a wooded road in Millinocket, a newlywed couple traveled on a dark winter night. Mm. The story tells us that the groom was drunk and lost control of the car, hitting a telephone pole, which killed him. After the young bride crawled from the wreckage and made her way back to the snowy road, she waited for hours for someone to drive by to help her. However, the conditions of the night meant that nobody was traveling, and the woman never received help. It is reported that she has remained in the same place in her wedding gown, where she eventually froze to death. Travelers on the road have reported seeing the woman in the white gown on Brownville Road. She can still be seen wandering along the side of the road, searching for help that never came. Some even claim to have actually spoken to the woman. In these situations, she tells the driver of her situation, but as the vehicle approaches closer, the woman suddenly disappears.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. The old disappearing act. Seen it many a time.
Hey, where'd she go?
Yeah. It's kind of like the, there's a bunch of those type stories. Mm-hmm. Like the one in Chicago, in the cemetery where the girl's wandering and they gets picked, she gets picked up and then, yeah, some at some point on the drive, she disappears, you know. So that's a good one. Why don't I end it here? We've done a lot of stories. I'll round it off with the, I don't think we talked about the Kennebec Arsenal.
I did not. Okay. So. I saw it, but I did not.
So the Kennebec Arsenal in Augusta was first built for the military after the War of 1812. By 1901, it was needed for coastal defense. It wasn't needed for coastal defense anymore, so it changed its purpose, and it became a mental hospital. Oh, boy. The Maine State Hospital bought the place and expanded it. They later called it the Augusta Mental Health Institute. Many adults and children with mental illness were treated at Kennebec Arsenal when it was a mental hospital. Stories abound of maltreatment at the facility. Some say several patients passed away in the facility and were buried in unmarked graves. Oh, boy. The place officially closed in 2004, and now it's off limits. Before that, people witnessed sightings of ghostly apparitions and heard the cries of former patients that were inside.
That sucks.
I also found...
I kind of knew that was, you know, where it was going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's always...
It has recently been slated for redevelopment.
Oh. Kennebec?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I have to say this is not a spooky area, but I have to say I've been looking at the different cryptids, and you're talking about like the serpents and everything, and there's five main ones. I'm not going to read them all, but I have to point out one of them that's hilarious. So Wessie, the giant snake of Westbrook, Cassie, the Casco Bay sea monster.
I like their names.
Kiwakwa. It's basically the version of Bigfoot or Sasquatch and the ape man. And then there's Black Panthers. But my favorite one in this list, and I'm not even joking about this, and I saw pictures of it, is Spectre Moose.
Spectre Moose?
And I'm going to read this one. For as long as people have hunted moose in the Maine woods, there have been sightings of the Spectre Moose, an enormous ghostly white moose that stalks the hidden corners of the state. Generally, it's been spotted somewhere between Katahdin and Moosehead Lake. And no one seems to be sure if they saw an albino moose or something a bit more ghostly. Either way, sightings of a white moose are more common, are also common in other heavily forested parts of North America, including Ontario and upstate New York. Spectre moose.
Spectre moose. Okay. That's a new one.
That sounds made up.
That is a new one.
I'm sorry, but that sounds made up.
Is it in your cryptid creature?
Do you have spectre moose over there?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, dang it.
Hmm.
Everybody needs a little spectre moose.
Well, I think we covered a lot of good places in Maine. I was excited about doing this episode because I like the New England area, and I knew Maine had a lot of spooky places. So I think we did good.
I think we did too.
I think the creepies got a lot of good stories.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of history and a lot of creepiness. So there you go.
Maine's creepy. We're heading there, right?
Right. We're going. We're going. We're going to stay at Kevin's house.
That's right.
He doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. I was going to say, hey, Kevin, guess what?
Knock. Yeah.
Guess what?
All right. Well, good. That was fun. Haunted Maine. So I'm going to say haunted. Why am I saying that? I'm going to say haunted dark side. I'm going to say middle-aged dark side.
Dark side.
It's light side.
Oh man!
So
oh man!
Age moment.
I don't think I've gotten a single one. I was gonna first go, of the year.
Believe it or not, I was gonna do dark side, but the reason
Nate is 0 for 3 months.
You can thank Stephen King for this because
I'm like the Pacers.
That's bad. That's real bad. They haven't won a game since the All-Star game.
It's real bad.
They just did.
Because they were the last team that had not won a game.
Okay. This is thanks to Stephen King, since he wrote Stand By Me. I went ahead, and I've used this before. I believe I've used this for an episode, but that's okay. This is...
No, we don't do repeats on this show.
I'm gonna, though. Benny King, Stand By Me. And we need this anyway.
I actually don't remember. Love this. So.
Green Mist.
I could be wrong.
Anybody talk about a Green Mist?
Stand By Me is a fantastic movie anyway. But so when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see... No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me. Hard not to sing. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble to the sea. I won't cry. I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And he goes on, oh, darling, darling. So, whenever you're in trouble, won't you stand by me? Oh, won't you stand? Whoa, Stan. Oh, Stan. Stand By Me. Right?
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Oh, my gosh. That's a fantastic movie.
Great movie.
First time I watched it was with my high school girlfriend. So I remember watching it. Yeah. It's good. Good. Uh-huh. I mean, obviously, they were kids, but, like, you know, a lot of good actors. And as they got older, I mean, some of them are still going, and some of them have retired. Like, Will Wheaton, I don't think he's been in anything.
No, it's been a minute.
A long time, but you got old Corey Feldman.
Him. Yeah.
East.
River Phoenix, right?
River Phoenix, yeah.
I remember when he died.
Deceased.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was awful. So, but yeah, and then he was chubby in the movie. Now he's not. He's a good actor. Uh-huh. He's been in some movies and shows, so I can't remember his name. But. Well, good. I don't remember you doing that song. So
Maybe I haven't, but I thought I had. But yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's in the plethora of things now.
Yeah.
All the things.
I was telling Dan today, I was like, I can't remember anything. Like, I'm struggling big time. I don't know if it's just my age or what. I especially can't remember, like, when I messaged you guys, I'm like, did we do the episode on, you know, whatever I talked about today? So, I can't,
It's just sometimers.
Hmm?
Just sometimers.
Yeah, sometimers.
Not all timers.
Yeah, it's sometimers. Yeah. Sometimes. All right. Well, thanks, Sean. That was good. Mm-hmm. Where are we at on the list here?
Shout outs.
Oh, yeah. Shout outs. Who wants to start? Who's got a shout out?
I don't think I have one.
No shout outs for you?
No shout out. Probably should have one, but I don't.
Shout out. Who deserves a shout out?
Man.
Hmm.
Last week you did your son that was in Florida.
He's home.
Having the case of the burps here.
Shout out to me.
Woo!
Nate, shout out himself.
Best shout out ever.
Well, we worked on Parker's bathroom trying to get it finished up, and I knocked it out of the park.
Nice job.
Put new...
Does Rachel think so too?
Fixtures on the sink and new fixtures in the shower. Had some issues, but we got through it.
Good.
Nice.
So shout out to Nate.
Good job, Nate.
We're getting through the...
Yay.
Let's just say there may have been like a fire hose moment in the shower.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. I heard about that one. Rachel freaked out.
We got it under control.
Well, that's Nate's the calm, though. Nate is the calm. It's okay.
Let's just say I was soaking wet head to toe, water droplet speckled glasses running for the garage for the shutoff.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah, yeah, things didn't go the way that we expected. So,
yeah, but now it's great. It's a thing of glory. Yeah,
it's done.
Good.
So, glorious.
So shout out to you.
Nice. Shout out to me.
For a job.
King Nate.
All right. I've got two shout outs. Uh-huh. One's a shout out and then one isn't, and you'll understand why when I mention it. I want to first shout out to my daughter, Olivia. Mm-hmm. I made it to her. I didn't think I was going to make it because I was sick at the beginning of the day last Saturday. Her Bells and Bows show choir mm-hmm. made it to state.
That's cool.
Nice.
It was at Pike High School at 5:30. I was not feeling well. I texted her that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to make it. I was sorry. And then and about 10 minutes later, Amy texts me and she's like, hey, Olivia's got her state show choir. I'm like, I already text Libby. I'm not feeling well. I don't think I'm going to make it. It was about 3 o'clock and got something in my stomach. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make it. I've got time. I can get cleaned up, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I was feeling better and they did a fantastic job and they came in second place out of eight. So out of eight schools, awesome. They came nice. In second. Yeah. yeah. So very cool. Congratulations yeah. to my daughter. Mm-hmm. She did. And I found her right off the bat because they're dancing everywhere. I don't know if you've been to a show choir concert. Oh, yeah.
Is it because she has your moves?
But it, yes, right.
That's right.
She's got my. Yeah. But I, because it is. It's hard to find your kid because yeah. they, you know, same costumes. And even though I know what my kid looks like, sometimes I'm like, I can't tell.
Was she glad to see you?
And, well, I didn't see her afterwards.
Oh, you didn't get to see her after? Okay.
So, but when they first came out, the very first, there was five songs that they did, you know, danced and sang. Man, I lashed right on. Boom. Found her. Didn't miss her the whole time. So
that's cool.
And I text her, congratulations, fantastic job. She did great and all that. So shout out to the Plainfield High School Bells and Bows Show Choir. Mm-hmm. Second nice. Place is cool. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Cause I was wondering when I left, I'm like, well, I wonder, you know, when we're going to find out how they did. And Mr. Hummel sent an email and then it was through a text, but Amy had later that evening, she's like, hey, just to let you know, Olivia's Bells and Bows got second place. I'm like, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
So it's not bad for state.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I saw Jalen.
Yeah. He's
Brianna. But yeah, Brianna had put that. So I was like, that's yeah. really cool.
Yeah. So that's my shout out. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a sad, like I said, it's not a shout out. Today I found out from my first cousin's wife. She posted on Facebook that my second cousin, his name's Brian, he just retired not too long ago from the Jacksonville fire department, that early this morning, his 23-year-old son was in a car crash and got killed.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Terrible news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled into my mom's condo, and sometimes I'll, you know, I'm listening to a podcast, or whatever, and I shut the car off and all that, and I was just checking messages and before I, you know, went inside, and I got on Facebook, and that's when I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, my heart just dropped. Yeah, I was like,
it's terrible.
Holy cow, 23. He got on the fire department, I think, in 2022. So he was 19 or 20, whatever. And yeah, following in his dad's footsteps and got, it was a single car crash. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Don't know what he hit or anything, but anyway, 23 years old, lost his life. So that's why, so it'd be my third cousin.
God bless his family, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So last year, his dad, so he and his brother Jason, they lost their dad to cancer, and then now Ryan loses his son. He's got more kids, but that devastating. So,
absolutely, yeah.
So I don't know how to. I don't want to say shout out, but my heart just goes out to him.
Condolences.
Because I was like, about him, yeah. I posted on my, you know, on the post. I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, I am so sorry. Like, that's devastating. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine losing a child at 20. You know, mm-hmm. at any time, but. So that's a sad thing. So I thought I'd mention that. Yeah. So
We also lost Chuck Norris.
Yeah, we did.
Mm. He was 86.
Yeah.
A lot older.
Carrying his own casket, taking friendly fire.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
I like the one that
said, how many drinks did Death have to have before it went to try to take
He Chuck is Norris? Death.
And
now.
He is it, right? Yeah. I was
like, yeah. What was it? Death waited till he was dead because he wouldn't dare get him when he was alive. Yeah. That's
the only person that could kill Chuck Norris was Chuck Norris.
Oh, gosh. What was the other one? There's about 500
gonna
of them.
Get oh, yeah. They're going to get even better than they ever have. Well,
hold on. I want to look up real quick.
Yeah, that one pitcher, they superimposed his face on Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, mm-hmm. carrying the casket.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I think Jen Gunter, who mm-hmm. follows us, and she's a friend of the show. She said Chuck Norris, he sleeps with a gun under his sleeps with a pillow under his gun.
Under his gun. Yeah.
That's like. Oh my gosh. So anyway. So yeah. Shout out to.
Old Chucky.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Now we can go to sponsorship. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts. We appreciate your sponsorship. Love you guys. Love the store.
We do love them, and we mm-hmm. do love the store. You're absolutely right.
And I can't wait till June 20th.
Give Wolfie a hug.
Wolfie.
Oh, well, I can see it now. And doing this little mechanical
in the arms
movement.
Of the Wolfie. Fly away.
Yeah, so.
Sarah McLachlan didn't sing it that way, did she?
Darn it.
No. No, she did. Anyway, we appreciate it. Thank you, Scott and Corey. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where are we at here? Oh, hey, second announcement. Sean.
I got him over here. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. And you can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. And I just hearted on it. Sorry. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some merch.
That is.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll all get right. you some merch.
Yeah.
Mako merch.
That's right.
And wear it when you come to the
Expo.
Indiana Paranormal Expo, mm-hmm. right? Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nailed that's it right. again.
You got it.
Get you a blanket. Yeah.
Are you saying
a blanket?
Expose yeah. your Mako
Why, hey.
merch at the Expo?
Don't. We're not.
Not that kind of exposure.
Oh.
I didn't say it was.
Don't expose your Mako
underwear.
Mako Whoa. Underwear. Hmm.
Yeah. How about that?
What was it I was going to. That we talked about for a while. Shower Is it curtain. Toilet seat?
Shower curtain, toilet seat.
Not shower curtain, toilet seat.
Doilies, dickies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of no, that's
toilet seat. That's
none
what,
of that's true.
I'm still going to look into that. Mako toilet seat.
It's like a bottle of tequila. I don't know. I don't
think. Yeah. Doormat.
Ooh, Mako doormat. Mm-hmm. We don't want people. Well, yeah. I don't want people to.
I'm fine with it. Just put my face.
Feet on
just put my face
on our logo. Yeah, we'll have just Sean.
It's a doormat. It's Sean.
Ashtray. Well, put your butt here.
Mako ashtray.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, Nate, I guess it's your turn to help us out here.
Well, I hope we stayed on the main topic tonight. That's a wrap.
We did.
Clever.
I think we did.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. Struggled with some of the names, but we did stay on the main topic. What's the deal what is the deal with all those names?
I just struggled.
Back on there.
Old country Indians.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess. Ace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we butchered them as usual.
As usual.
Hey, anyway, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 262 and our discussion on Haunted Maine. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.